Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek, 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 geek.
Invents a gentle realm where the fans unite. Steve Megatron leads us, igniting the night. Talking movies and games, pop culture galore. Altered Geek vibes always leaving us wanting more. Get altered, get geeky, it's a wild ride. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure niche, the geekdom of the world, is TFG and Mike.
Holy crap.
It's been a week. For it's multiple reasons.
It's been a week that's felt like a month, that's felt like a year. That's felt like 5 years. That's felt like Thanos snapped his fingers. That we all got blipped. Then we got unblipped. And we don't know how to deal with the blip because blippity blip. Like.
Blip, 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 blip.
Yeah, it's. And the funny thing is, folks, we weren't even planning on doing this because we were planning on waiting until the end of July / the beginning of August to do the anniversary show of the podcast. But there was just way too much going on that we just could not do an episode of the show.
The climate is changing very fast on media. And
it always does, but it seems like
we're in a whirlwind right now. There's a multitude of things happening between funding being cut from like NPR and PBS and public broadcasting of any kind to, I mean, and I'm seeing that locally because I'm in the Colorado market, and most of our radio is Town Square Media, iHeartRadio, and then there's like KUNC, KRFC, like Colorado Sound, and you know, NPR, and you know, so I mean, we have all these different things around us, and granted, I don't listen to any of it, but I know that they have a place. Like they do serve a purpose. They are, you know, they're hyper local usually when it's a public broadcasting of some kind. And in that regard, like I honestly don't care about national news. I don't watch television. I don't listen to the radio. I listen to podcasts. I watch YouTube. And, you know, in Netflix or, you know, whatever else is streaming, something I want to watch. But we've been watching like things collapsing everywhere over the last couple of weeks. And it's progressively getting worse. Like there's stupid things that are happening in media in general.
Yeah.
I'm not getting political. I'm not doing any of that. There's a lot of stupid decisions being made in terms of budget. And in this area, it's like, okay, you're saving what, $1 billion for allocating this? Okay. I get that's more money I'll ever see in my entire life. But, you know, I feel like a lot of these stations do depend on it. Like I work for a family owned business that's, you know, progressively grown, and we contribute money to all of these different, you know, nonprofits. We are a part of the advertising mix with some of these public broadcast radio organizations. And so like we see it, we feel it, and then we're seeing it. And I mean, cause we're very hyper local, community oriented, and seeing it happen with all of these different organizations is just sad, because I mean it's people like love or hate the material, love or hate what they're saying about you or anything else, they're serving a cause locally. And you know, I've kind of simmered over this for a while. Like it's been one of those things where I'm like, do I say anything, do I bring it up? I think it does tarnish and hurt media. It's no different than like corporate media coming in and commandeering podcasting, which we'll get into later.
Yeah.
But it's the same thought process. It's like, where do we get off here? Like where is the point where we kind of leave independence alone, you know, and help those instead of trying to screw with the conglomerates. Now, the conglomerates get screwed with too, equally yeah. so. Plus, their budgets are way beyond what the entire nation needs for their public radio, which yeah. essentially is the same as, like, you know, podcasting fighting in a radio world.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
And I don't want to get political either, because my bottom line is all politicians are corrupt. I don't care what side the politics are on. It's all a corrupt cesspool. That's been my belief my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say one thing, and if this is your show, if you decide to bleep me in the editing, you're more than welcome to do so.
Please just skirt around it. I don't want to have to edit.
Okay, well.
I can read between the lines. Make it obvious and read between the lines.
How am I going to say this? Why that orange blah 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 blah, blah, blah is go? Why PB? Why? Why are you going after Sesame? Why? Don't go after children's programming. Don't. No, don't, and stop. What did Sesame Street ever do to you?
Well, it's not Sesame Street.
I know it's not Sesame Street.
Well, directly. Sesame Street got defunded during the previous administration.
I know, but, and that's fine, whatever. I'm just saying politics in general, politicians in general. Why y'all going after PBS? Like, seriously? Like, is... that
I will argue I wasn't a huge proponent of PBS like in the past. Like, yes, did I watch, like, you know, Bill Nye and, you know, Wishbone and things like that when I was a kid? Yes. And Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street. So, I mean, in that regard, I do like the stuff, and I do like what they generally stand for. You know, whether I loved or hated any of the shows or not. And I remember, like, Nova. PBS is yeah. Nova. Yeah. Like, I had to write a report on it at one point in school, and Happenstance found one about beagles.
Yep.
And I was like, cha-ching. I was like, something I care about.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I learned a buttload about beagles during that time. And so I've been able, like, I've never been able to find the episode again. I wish I could, because I would love to show it to my kids.
It was Nova and beagles. I'll find it for you.
Yeah, I've been looking I cannot find it. Like, of all things, like, at least I think it was on that. Anyways, I wrote a paper on it for school, but college, but it was like 2013, 2014.
Out of all the things to go after for cutting funding or cutting whatever, NPR and PBS, really?
Yeah, like, I wish they would have just, you know, I don't know, put term limits on people and cut their own pay.
Yeah.
Since they're all part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we'll leave this conversation.
Yep. We're moving
before
on.
We move on.
Yep.
I mean, since we're already down this crap rabbit hole, why don't we move on to the unfortunate passings that have happened over the last week? Because that sucks.
Oh my God. Okay. So just as a precursor to this, folks, I have been wanting for years, I will say for a decade. It has nothing to do with Bill Cosby himself. The man himself has nothing to do with that. I grew up watching the Cosby. I learned more lessons, more life lessons as a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old in the 80s from the Cosby Show, watching that as a kid, than any other early 80s family television show up until like 87 when Full House debuted. Okay. So I grew up learning, like, the life lessons that I can remember off the top of my head from the Cosby Show is, no, Theo, don't pierce your ear. It's going to get infected. And we're going to get into that in a second. But, like, you keep the when you go out trick-or-treating, you keep the candy from the houses you know in the purple bag. You keep the candy from the houses that you don't know in the red bag. You separate it. You do this. You do that. I learned all kinds of life lessons from the Cosby Show.
And, for sure. I mean, love or hate, and this goes along with everything else. Like, you know, you can love or hate the people associated with a show, but I also base it on the life lessons in the character itself, not right. the actor.
And exactly. We were taught to, like, the way I look at television and movies is that, and the way that I grew up with it is that you were looking at that fictional universe, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You were not, like, we didn't grow up in a time where, okay, this is Mr. Cosby and Mrs. Cosby and their kids. Now let's go find out, and we will find out later about, like, A Current Affair and Hard Copy and Inside Edition and all this, and all that whole culture popped up a little bit later in the late 80s, early 90s. But, like, we didn't care what happened to the actor, like, as kids in the 80s and 90s. We didn't care. We weren't there for what happens after the show is over. And it's not like we were kids, man. We weren't there for what happens after the show was over. We were there for the show. So when I'm sitting here saying to our lovely audience that has been listening to us for almost, we're just over, well, we're almost at 12 full years of this podcast here on our lovely network here. It was about the fiction. It was about getting away from real life, of everyday life in the 80s. And Malcolm Jamal Warner, who played Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show, he passed away recently. He was in Costa Rica. He was swimming or something. And there's really bad current, really, really rough currents out there. Apparently the current dragged him under or something. I've got the article here where it says, I'm going to read this verbatim, folks. So sorry, not sorry, but I want to make sure my information is correct. Actor and director Malcolm Jamal Warner, best known, as we've said, on The Cosby Show, has died in an accident drowning in Costa Rica, where he was vacationing with his family. Officials have said he was only 54 years old. I'm 45. He was only 9 years older than me. Warner drowned Sunday afternoon in some town on the Costa Rican Caribbean coast. The country's judicial investigation department said he appeared to have been pulled out to sea by a current. Warner was assisted by people who were at the beach, but he was declared dead by the staff on the Costa Rican Red Cross. The department said an autopsy determined his cause of death to be asphyxiation by submersion. That sucks. But you know what? Even though he is no longer with us, the coolest thing about this dude is that he lived his life in positivity. I just listened to his podcast with Keisha Knight Pulliam, who was Rudy Huxtable on The Cosby Show. His podcast is called Not All Hood, and it was such a cool podcast episode to listen to that I don't know how old that is, a couple weeks, couple months maybe. But every clip, everything I've been seeing from him, this dude did nothing but positive stuff in his life. His wife, his daughter, just everything.
Well, he kept his nose clean.
Absolutely, he kept his nose
clean. He acted, he just lived a normal life. Yep. You didn't hear nothing about his personal life. Like, nope. I mean, and that's what you want.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mentioned this to when I heard the news of his passing. I thought it was one movie, and then I thought it was a different movie, but I remember him from, which is funny because I was wanting to cover this movie on Studio 2009 as a double feature with a different movie because they're both skydiving movies. But originally I thought, wait a minute, isn't it this one or is it that one? He starred opposite briefly because he's only in like the first scene of the movie because unfortunately his character dies in the movie. He starred opposite Wesley Snipes in 1995's Drop Zone. He plays Wesley Snipes' brother. And now I was going to cover it anyway this year because it's the 30th anniversary of the film. Now I have to cover it. Originally, I was going to pair it up with Terminal Velocity with Charlie Sheen because that's also a skydiving movie. But now I'm just going to do it on its own. Like when that news broke and you heard about like the code, like there's been one time I've traveled outside the United States of America. It was 1992. I went over Niagara Falls in a barrel. I was 12 years old. I survived. Okay, fine. No reaction. Great. It was a picture.
I know what it is. I mean, I've been to Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I know. But
I was like, there's no way in heck you went over and lived. Like, I've seen the videos of that stuff. Like, people like, I built a barrel.
No. So there used to be, I think it was either in the Skylon. I think it was in the Skylon Tower in Niagara. There used to be back in 1992. I have a picture of it. At least I think I have a picture of it. There used to be one of those, like, I'll say 3D printed, but it wasn't. It was a foam rubber, whatever display of the falls and the barrel. You basically is a standee. You just stand in front of it and it looks like you're going over the falls in a barrel. So I always tell that story to see if I can get a reaction out of people. But other than that one time going up to Canada to see my dad's relatives in 1992, I have never been out of the United States. So I have no idea in person how other parts of the world, how the oceans work. I do know that certain parts of the North Atlantic are very, very choppy with their currents. So my point in saying any of this is that the Caribbean Sea and all that stuff in Costa Rica, oh man, I can imagine those currents. Oh. And I think one of the stories that was reporting his death said something about there weren't any lifeguards on the beach or something, or there aren't lifeguards on the beach or whatever. And I'm sitting here thinking, how come there are no lifeguards on the beach down there? I don't know how remote it is down there. I have no clue. It's very sad. He is very much missed. And just every clip I see, all my feeds are, whether it's Cosby Show clips, whether it's clips of him as an adult, whether it's his podcast, he was such an amazing soul and an amazing human being, and he will be sorely missed.
100%.
Yeah. And we knew this next one was, we knew he was in poor health.
I mean, the dude, he had a concert like a week ago.
Yeah.
And he was standing up or whatever. And then he's like, they got him a chair and he's like, no, I'm a bloody stand up, you know.
Ozzy Osbourne.
I know. Damn. The dude was struggling with Parkinson's pretty bad, though.
Yeah, he was. He really, really was. Did you ever watch The Osbournes back in the day?
I mean, I tried to watch it. I couldn't get into it because, like, it was. I hate reality television unless it's like Shark Tank or something where it's of value. You know, I don't feel like I've lost brain cells after I've watched it. Like, I don't need to watch these people live a manufactured life on television.
I don't know. It would have to be a whole research thing, and I would have to watch. I don't know how much of the Osbournes was manufactured, because I don't know. Like, every time I saw Ozzy, every time I saw clips of him out in the world in real life, like every time he showed up to whatever Sharon's show, like whatever show she was a co-host on or whatever, every time he would show up, like the show would just be the normal, like, let's, I think she was on The View at one point or another. I don't remember what shows Sharon Osbourne has starred on or co-hosted on or whatever, but let's just say it's The View. Every time he would show up, it would be like, it would be the normal show and whatever else. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, Ozzy is here. And Ozzy would just be like, it just always seemed to me that he never had a quiet moment. I could be wrong. I don't know. I never met the man. But it seemed to me everyone around him, especially his wife, was his peace. But his life was the chaos. He was the chaos. Like, it just never seemed to me that the dude ever had, like, any peaceful time for himself. And it just seemed like he was, like, you know how we usually turn it on, like the beginning of this, you're like, hello and welcome to, like we always do.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, it seems like he was always on and he never got to turn his switch off. And it just, like, the last few weeks of his life, when I was seeing clips about the concert that you had mentioned, and then I had seen clips from the concert, and I'm like, oh, okay. But Parkinson's is a, like, there are a lot of, every disease is a bitch. Every disease is just horrible. I wish we could eradicate all disease, just whatever. Like, I know that humans have a natural life cycle that we all can't, like, no one ever should be immortal, period, end of story. Just not that everyone has a natural life cycle, but like, it's like, it, the campaign says, it's like Stephen Amell says, and I'm gonna say it now, fuck cancer, you know, everything else and all this stuff. It's like, oh my God, why do we have to have this? Why is this here? And the same thing with Parkinson's. Oh man, you just lose your, Michael J. Fox went through this. I think he's still going through it, if I'm not wrong.
You never get over Parkinson's. It sticks with you for life.
I know that's,
but he is planning on being in some television shows this year, like acting.
Yeah, cool. That's awesome. But Ozzy, man, rest in peace. That first 30 seconds of Crazy Train will be a call to action for all of us. Because, damn.
Maybe we can't play that on the episode, but, you know. Because, or the Iron Man song.
Oh God, Black Sabbath, Iron Man. Oh God, you know,
my boss has been playing that. He's been playing that in the office this week. So,
yeah,
since yesterday.
I was half like, I wasn't sure if they were ever gonna use it in a certain movie that came out X number of years ago. But when they used it in Iron Man, I was like, oh hell yes. But yeah, Malcolm Jamal Warner, Ozzy Osbourne, you guys just tear it up there in heaven.
Yeah, he's right up there with Tom Petty.
Yep, absolutely. All right.
Now that you're done crying.
Yes. Well, you know.
I think the only ones that are going to really resonate with me that way would be like David Kaye or, you know, the Beast Wars cast, or, you know, some of the, you know, like Tim Allen, you know, some of the I mean, yeah, I've never gotten that way with musicians, and I get it. Like, everybody reacts differently to this stuff. My stepmom, when Michael Jackson died, she lost it.
Yeah.
and I get it. Like, these people are like ingrained in your culture for so long. Like, I mean, outside of Robin Williams, like, I really haven't had that per se, you know, that big, like, it sucks that guy's not here. Like, we got robbed of like 10 more years, at least, of like comedy gold from the guy.
Yeah. His birthday just passed.
Yeah. He would have been 74.
Yep. So between his 74th heavenly birthday at this point and these two passing, it's like, oh God, emotional overload. Cause it's like looking back on every awesome thing Robin Williams did and every awesome role he ever get. Like, there's an image, I forget, I don't know if I shared it or not, but there's an image somewhere on my Facebook. I don't know where it is. I don't even know how I'd be able to find it. But it's an image of him. And it's one of those spread, I don't know how I explain this. So you look straight on in a picture, an image of his face. And out to the left and to the right are images of all, like, Mrs. Doubtfire, Peter Banning from Hook, Bicentennial Man, just all the roles he's ever played, just faces attached to his. Oh God, every time I see that image, I'm like, ah, so cool.
Oh, I can just imagine him right now.
Nanu, welcome.
Yep, absolutely. Good old Mark from Mark.
Yep. But anyways, yeah, it's like we mentioned, it's unfortunate, it's sad, you know, it sucks, death is a thing.
Yeah,
but it comes for us all.
And I think it's one of those things for me why I get so affected about it from, and again, like, I mean, I only teared up because of Ozzy, because of the Parkinson's thing, because we started talking about Michael, because Michael J. Fox has it. But it's like, you know, you start talking about Ozzy and you talk about the music that he created on his solo career, but also what he did with Black Sabbath. And then you start talking about the songs and it's like, oh God, now I have to go listen to all of that. But it's also Malcolm and everything that he did and just the positive reinforcement. Like, literally before we recorded this, folks, like I said, I listened to that episode of his podcast with Keisha Knight Pulliam. And in that episode of the podcast, they talk about how much of an age difference is between them, but their daughters are both 8 years old at the time of that podcast recording, or the time of that podcast release. So, like, it just, I don't know. It was just so fun. I'll have to see if I can either get the Spotify thing, or I don't know if his podcast is on whatever. I don't know where it is. I know it's on Spotify. But because, you know, folks, most podcasts these days don't have their own dedicated websites, unlike, you know, geekastradio.com. Anyway, moving on over to IDW Publishing. I was kind of surprised at this. I guess I shouldn't have been, but I was kind of surprised. But IDW Publishing. So when Transformers, wow. Come on, Mike, get it together. When IDW Publishing finished off the X number of years run of TMNT with issue 150, they did a soft relaunch and did a new number one. They brought on superstar stellar author, writer Jason Aaron, and he has now completed his run, 12 issue run of the series, which I was surprised. I was like, really? He's only doing 12 issues? Okay, so coming up this December, a new era of TMNT begins with issue 13. After a best-selling and acclaimed run from Jason Aaron and artist Juan Ferreira, the high-quality, heartfelt, and exciting storytelling that fans deserve won't miss a beat with the arrival of an all-star duo. Eisner-winning writer Jean Luen Yang, who also wrote Shang-Chi and Superman Smashes the Clan, and blockbuster artist Freddie E. Williams II, Batman versus TMNT and Godzilla versus MMPR. Starting their run in December, this all-new story arc will provide fans with a fresh jumping-on point as the heroes in Half Shell are back together and hopeful about the future of the city. But there's a dark and personal danger lurking in the shadows. So we've got a new writing team coming on this December, just in time for Christmas. For TMNT, I love Freddie E. Williams II's art. I always have. Over on the pull bag, Joe Reed and I have been covering the IDW TMNT books since January 22nd of 2014. We have close to 70 episodes covering everything so far. We need to catch up and finish off the original run and then start this new arc, new run that they've got going. We have covered, I'll send you the links to these three. We have covered all of the Batman TMNT series. They did 1, 2, and 3 they did three different books for those, and those are really good. I know you like TMNT. I know you like Batman. Even if you don't read the books, if you listen to the podcast, because we spoil the hell out of those, so you'll get the whole. I mean, I think they're like 3-hour podcasts because that's just how Joe and I rock with those. The only thing with this is, like I said, that I was surprised about it is that I was surprised that Jason Aaron was only on. Going to be on the 12 issues. Maybe he'll come back later, but yeah, there's that's coming up in December from IDW Publishing. TMNT, very, very awesome. I just reading comics nowadays, IDW TMNT, never. Are there things in the books from them, from the TMNT book, that I kind of quibble at? Yeah. But nothing has made me drop it. Every time, you think I get emotional over the passing of these actors and stuff. Listen to some of our TMNT pullback episodes, folks. You're gonna hear a grown man cry over fictional turtles. Trust me, there are plenty of I'm not fuck, dude. I'm telling you that. They pull at the heartstrings like you would not believe. Like, it just is what it is. And maybe it's just the way I am. I don't know. But it's so freaking good. But yeah. So there's that. That's what's going on. Read your comics, folks. Comics are good. Comics are great. Listen to your podcasts. Don't watch late night TV. Late night TV is boring. Late night TV is, it costs too much. They don't want to put it on anymore. I labeled this next story CBS are morons, because the reason why I labeled it CBS are morons is because they didn't fire him on the spot. They're giving him 10 months. And I'm sitting here thinking, you morons, he's going to basically rake you over the coals for the next 10 months. I'm like, you idiots. He's going to do nothing but kill you.
God.
Canceling Colbert. Oh, boy. I won't talk about this.
Yeah. So, I've done a lot of, like, one, I hate, like, AP or other things that are like, oh, we gotta allow news or allow ads, because I, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, we must track you. Anyways, yeah, the whole thing about Colbert is unfortunate. I do see people blaming the fact that the president's not happy with him, or the other late night people. Now, don't get me wrong. They do have 100% First Amendment right, say whatever the heck they want. I mean, SNL has been doing it for 50 years.
Yeah.
That's not the issue. The issue is they're not profitable.
Yeah.
Because like I saw an article about it, and Kevin O'Leary from like Shark Tank, he's, I mean, multi-billionaire. He's like, at the end of the day, they were losing $100 million a year, which is not good. Yep. And yes, he did have decent ratings, but the fact of the matter is they should have figured out a way to scale back all of these late night shows to make them a more affordable so that the juice was worth the squeeze of keeping these shows around.
Oh, 100%.
But instead, they got overgrown, over bloated. They added more and more crap to them. They just became uninteresting.
Yeah.
And I'm not like, I mean, whether they got political or not, I don't really care. I don't know. I don't watch it. It's not something I'm ever going to pay attention to. But the fact of the matter is they just blew a lot of money. And I do feel sad for everyone on board that's going to lose their job. I mean, Colbert will land on his feet somewhere. The rest of them is kind of what I'm more, you know, compassionate about, is because what are these people going to do? Because as these jobs dry up, they're going to have to transition. And unfortunately, we're in this market now where, you know, podcasting is huge.
Yep.
And we'll get to that in a minute, too. But, you know, podcasting is huge. It's cheap. And the previous late night show, Conan O'Brien.
Yep.
Has a pretty decent following and has his own podcast, and it's been, you know, pretty good for him. And while I understand the solidarity of the other late night shows, eventually the band hammer is going to come for them too. And it's the late night TV is not what it once was. Like, I'm surprised SNL is still on TV. I'm surprised a lot of stuff's still on TV, because when it boils down to it, nobody's really subscribing. Like, as an advertiser, I don't advertise on television, because it's not where people are. People are on YouTube. People are on, you know, streaming platforms. People are on their phone or on social media. Those are the places to advertise. Hitting them on television, it's throwing money away. And that's why these things are losing money.
Yeah. So for me, I have internet and phone through Xfinity. The only reason why I have a small Xfinity box on my TV, which I have a 4K television from 2018, so I future-proofed myself. It's the best TV I could have gotten at the time that would take me through until I don't know when. It's like, there are better TVs out there now, obviously, but like, back then, it was literally $1,500. So it was the best TV I could have gotten at the time. So for me, I have this little streaming box that Xfinity has. And they said, I don't want it if it's not, like, I'm not paying for it. It's free with the blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, fine. All it does is it gives me apps, it gives me this, it gives me that. I have no actual cable package with Xfinity. I have internet and phone, and I have the little box that was free that has I don't remember the last time I watched a cable channel. I watch streaming, I watch this, I watch that, I watch whatever, and most of my streaming I pay for. Because I want, and I've said this before on your lovely Altered Geek here and other shows that we do here at the Geekcast Radio Network, I will pay for ad-free content, because I don't mind paying for the ads, because I don't want to see them. I don't want to see the advertisements. What I'm watching is stuff that is not new. Unless, like, okay, so YouTube Premium, all right? So if I'm on my YouTube and I'm, like, say I go to Hulu or Netflix, perfect example. We got Happy Gilmore coming up. Happy Gilmore 2, okay? Or a TV show or whatever. Let's say it's a TV show on Hulu or whatever. It's like, oh, okay, I see the advertisement. Oh, that's a cool show I might want to watch that's new. very rarely in the last 3 years has there been a new television show that has caught my eye that I absolutely have to watch. I am not watching current content on any platform. I am watching content to podcast about it with you, with my buddy Dave Draper, with the Chaos Queen, with whomever else, whoever I podcast with. So yeah, the whole advertising thing on television, I don't know how broadcast, just take a TV, put a couple of rabbit ears on it and try to get Channel 3. I don't know how Channel 3 is even still working with the rabbit ears. No clue. Oh. Rant over.
Kind of torn. Like I get a lot of this. Like I don't pay for ads. I just deal with them. I don't pay for ad lists. I deal with it to a point. And then I find alternatives. But yeah. I mean, I have ad blockers for everything. I have ways around articles that people are gatekeeping you know, oh, you got to pay to read this article. It's like, okay, what's the point? I mean, one, AI is going to scrape it. And if you don't let AI scrape it, you know, when you're doing a Google search,
yep,
you're not going to get found anyway.
Yeah.
Because AI SEO is the new SEO. And if you don't have access to that, you're irrelevant in this new realm, which is why they say transcripts for podcast episodes is key. And, you know, why they say really any kind of captioning or transcription is good, because you're getting the authentic thoughts. They're built in. It can scan it. There's a lot of AI that can scan video now. Yep. And so there's that. But there's also the fact that, again, nobody's watching late night television. I mean, yeah, people are. But the numbers are so low compared to what they once were that it's not even worth messing with anymore. And so, while it sucks that, you know, these staples of late night television are going away, they've been going away and dying for years. It's just finally they're pulling the plug, because they're like, you know, and CBS, to be honest, since before Paramount, before their split years ago and like after 2005 and their reacquisition and remerging with Paramount, you know, Viacom, CBS, Paramount, like all of their conglomerate has never done well. And so it's not surprising that they're cutting extra weight where it's not making money. Like, I mean, they just, you know, renewed South Park through like 2028 or something. And but it's making money.
Yeah,
it's getting the viewers. It's getting, you know, so while it's painful to watch these staples go.
Yeah,
it also causes them to have to innovate.
Yeah.
They've been sitting on their laurels for this for so long and not innovating. This is why they're dying a slow death. Yeah. It's because they've been playing the same game plan for years, you know, rinse and repeat with a different host. And they're just not landing the way that they used to. Plus, people have instant access. We have social media, we have podcasts, we have YouTube, we have, you know, video shows, we have all of these different things that we didn't have back when late night television was our only access to this stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the difference, is that, like, you know, 40 years ago, you had Johnny Carson interviewing Joan Rivers, or you had Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon interviewing Mel Gibson. Whereas now, like right now, as I'm speaking these words to you folks, like, instead of having Stephen Colbert interview the cast of Fantastic Four, I can go onto YouTube and Marvel's YouTube channel and see whomever. Mm-hmm. I don't know who the person is.
Well, they're doing it their own.
Right. But this is what I'm saying. Like, Marvel has whomever it is behind the camera interviewing Pedro Pascal and blah, 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 whoever the hell else it is that's acting in the Fantastic Four stuff. And I can watch that on YouTube. I don't have to watch that on broadcast television or whatever. And honestly, seriously, after David Letterman left, CBS should have shut down The Late Show. No offense to Stephen Colbert. I like Stephen. I think Stephen's great. The only cool thing for me out of Stephen Colbert's Late Show is when he interviewed Taylor Tomlinson and he announced that she was getting her version of blah, 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 the late show, whatever, Taylor Tomlinson at midnight or after midnight or whatever it was. And even that didn't last that long because that's gone now. But that show, her show that she had, because I liked her comedy specials on Netflix and stuff, after I found out about her from Stephen Colbert, I liked that show because that show was a different late night show. It was basically late night.
It was fresh.
Yeah, it was fresh. Exactly. It was fresh. It was different. It was a late night interview show mixed with a game show. It was kind of like Wheel of Fortune, but interview. Jeopardy, but interview kind of thing. And they had a bunch of people on there that was like, some of them I knew, some of them I didn't. And that was kind of cool. And like you said, it was fresh and it was interesting. But the problem is, as we know, and we say this all the time, new doesn't work because new doesn't have staying power. Same thing like, you know, why all these superhero movies happen instead of individual, regular, new idea movies, or why you have to keep going back to the well of all sparks to do this, or why you have to keep going to this instead of doing something fresh and whatever, is because they want the money to keep coming in. And late night, there is no money coming in. It's all money going out. What do they say? $40-50 billion for whatever. Whatever the number was for Late Show. It's like, and it sucks because, again, like you said, it's the churning of the generation, the generational change. And like 11:35 p.m. used to mean something. So go with me here for a minute, all right? When I was a kid, I'll say 1991, I was 11 years old. You were probably 4, 5, or 6, somewhere around there, I think. Whatever, I don't know the math on that. You can do the math on that. Anyway, I was 11 years old. 5 o'clock, 5:30 p.m. This is Eastern time, folks. 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 and 6:30. You had most of it. It was the news programs. Like by 6:30, you had like Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and all that. 7 o'clock, 7:30, you had Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. 8 o'clock to, I want to say, unless you're watching Fox, because this is 1991, so Fox would have already debuted. Unless you're watching Fox on CBS, let's just take CBS. 8 o'clock to 10, 8 o'clock to 10:30, you have all the primetime shows and everything else. 10:30 to 11, you have that final primetime show. 11 o'clock to 11:35 p.m. is the news. 11:35 p.m., you have the Late Show with David Letterman. We had that for 40 something years or whatever it is. You knew, even as kids, even the adults back then, my mom, like, they would go between David Letterman and Johnny Carson, and then obviously Johnny left after a while, and in the 90s it became Jay Leno for The Tonight Show, which is fine. Jay was fine. Back then it was kind of a, oh my God, Johnny's gone. Oh, it was kind of horrible, but once we got used to Jay, it was fine. But David Letterman, man, David Letterman and Paul, Paul Schaefer. God, I can't believe I remember. Oh boy. It was just a thing. It was a legacy thing. We didn't know then it was a legacy thing, but now in 2025, The Late Show is a legacy. When David Letterman left, you should have stopped. Just stopped. Create something new in that spot for Stephen. Don't call it The Late Show. Call it whatever with Stephen Colbert. Because it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't have the same ring. It doesn't have the same legacy without the person that was there before. It just didn't feel the same. And you're, like we already said, who the hell watches late night television anymore? Like nobody, I'm not saying people are asleep at 11:35 p.m., but like we've already said and we've repeated multiple times, watching YouTube, watching Netflix, why, like, hell, 11:35 p.m., people could be trying to catch up on Stranger Things if they're into that, or, you know, whatever, you know. So it's just crazy. It sucks, like we've said, like, it sucks for Steven, but like you said, it really sucks for all of the people, all of the background people, all of the grips, all of the camera people, all of the, like, the band, and just, God, I hope they all land on their feet somehow, some way. Whatever Steven ends up doing next, honestly, I hope he takes the entire crew with him.
That would be cool, but I don't see him being able to employ 200 people.
I understand, but I'm just saying
he may take a select few. I think it'll go more intimate, like what Conan O'Brien's doing. And oddly enough, there was an article that came out earlier this week about it, about podcasting's replacing late night, and, you know, more of the changing the guard, and you know, the whole late night system is being upended. And Conan O'Brien years ago, he has, you know, 1.3 million downloads per episode, which beats his, you know, final season of his, you know, of his version of the, you know, late night stuff. Where he had 282,000, you know, viewers per episode. And he's built his into a podcasting empire. And the, you know, the fact is, you know, podcasts, and I agree with this statement in this article, it says, you know, podcasts didn't replace late night. They absorbed its role and modernized it.
Yep.
You know, did. The format shifted, audience shifted, power shifted, you know, what it once represented is now being delivered more efficiently and more authentically by podcasts. And, you know, it can be done for a fraction of the cost. And a fraction of the staff, and you know, one, the audience isn't there. Most under 35 don't tune in at a set time; they scroll, stream, or search. So, 18 to 34 demo, which is what their target is not listening or watching any of that. And then the fact that, you know, posting their monologues and interviews on YouTube for years, it worked, but you know. They've also figured out podcasts can get the same A-list people to some degree. It's lowered the barrier, you know, higher volume of stuff can go out, more intimate, more authentic, unfiltered versions, you know, something that podcasting does, which late night was very rehearsed and segmented and scripted and, you know, time constraints. And, you know, now they're kind of at this weird format, and they had this awesome grid about how, you know, they can have these long form unscripted personal conversations instead of, you know, the guest segments of 6 to 8 minutes. They're 30 to 90 minutes free form. You know, instead of 500,000 per episode, it's a fraction of it. Instead of, you know, being on linear TV, it's on demand everywhere. Instead of just one station, you know, the host or the indie company owns the feed and the IP, it's on demand. Global access anytime. The ads are done by the host or wherever they're, you know, connected through. They can self-launch their own discovery. It's more intimate, raw, you know. So I mean, it's become the new way of doing things, and with all of the different choices online, it just makes sense. So
and the thing is, I know I'm probably going to repeat, this is probably going to be repeatish, but the funny thing is, my buddy Brad Felicki, who used to do a couple of podcasts, he's a buddy of mine on Facebook. He's one of these people, I think he's the only person on my friends list that does this, but he's one of those people that will make a post on Facebook and he will just make you choose. Like, he'll do this or that, and that's all the post will be. Like, Burger King or McDonald's, and he'll just leave it at that, and you just comment your choice, your pick. And I find it funny that this morning he posts audio or video. I made two comments because I needed to go in depth on the second comment. So in all caps, because that's how I roll sometimes on Facebook, audio period, first period, forever period. Like 10 minutes later, audio is more personal. Audio is more intimate. Audio is more freeing. Audio, you can press play, pay attention, and still go about your day. Oh God, this is long. I forgot how long this was. Video, you have to stop everything. Be engrossed in whatever the video is and just watch. I cannot do multiple things and watch video, whatever the video is. It doesn't matter if it's TV. It doesn't matter if it's a TV show, movie, video game, YouTube video. It doesn't matter. Video is a stop and pay attention. Video killed the radio star. Video is the Hollywood star of formats. Basically, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. Whereas audio is, hi, friend, let me take you along this journey and I will be in the background here in your ears no matter what. And you are paying attention, but you can also do other things at the same time. So, yeah, that's audio forever, folks. No video. Like, I can sit down and watch a TV show. I can sit down and watch a movie. That's fine. But I'm doing so with a purpose to cover it on a podcast. Because, like, when I was a kid, I was watching movies, like, and I do this to enjoy it. Like, we're currently going through the Die Hard movies over on Studio 2009, you and I are. Yes, I'm enjoying watching those movies. I'm sitting here enjoying being in the moment of stopping everything else and watching the movie and taking my notes. But I'm doing it for a purpose. Whereas as a child, when I watched things, it was to enjoy it, just to enjoy it, to have the memory of doing it, because there was no such thing as podcasting in the 80s, and yada, 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 yada. Whereas now, you know, being an adult and having this platform and this format and everything we've done in the last 17 years, like, this is our purpose. This is what we do. And we do it in the audio format so you people can go about your day and just have fun with us along the way. Hey, look, I'm wheeling.
Well, and then part of my thing is I want to entertain, I want to educate, I want to, you know.
Absolutely.
It just, I don't know, just makes sense. Like, I just,
yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't want to roll with it, but yep.
We just want to have fun, and we have fun with each other, whether it's me and Steve, whether it's me and Optimus Solo, whether it's all three of us, whether it's me and other people, whether it's Steve and other people. Most of the time, Steve and I are doing stuff together, whether it's just us two or whether it's us and other people included and everything else. Look at the folks. Let me tell you something. You look at the 7 or 8. Is it 7 or 8? 7 or 8. Top 100 countdowns we've done. They were a lot of work. That's not the point. The point is, that was a lot of freaking fun. Every one of those is so different and so unique, and no other podcast, network, or independent or otherwise, can say they've done that stuff like we've done it. Those are so damn fun. And look at all the other stuff we've done. We have fun doing it. And our only goal has always been, guess what? To unleash the geek in you.
Yep.
Every time. No agenda, no nothing. We're just here to have fun with us doing the stuff and then releasing it out into the world for you guys to enjoy it. Sometimes you comment, sometimes you, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on the website, whatever. Thank you to everybody who has ever commented or sent an email or anything, any interaction. We love you guys so much. And yeah, no, it's just, we just love doing this stuff, and we love doing it audio style because audio style is the best.
Agreed. So with that, I think we'll transition to the other article that you wanted to bring up.
Which was what? Oh, yes. A GCRN exclusive. We've never done this before, folks.
What, reference someone's article from the site?
Yeah. Steve Megatron is tearing down the podcasting world, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, God. Podcasting isn't dead. It's just being misunderstood. Oh, God. So you wrote this, and I'm going to read the first little blurb a little bit here. Max Cutler of Pave Studios recently declared podcasting is dead and that we should now call everything a show. Is provocative, but it's also oversimplified as someone who's spent over two decades empowering indie creators. I see this not as a wake-up call, but as a mischaracterization of what podcasting truly is. All right, so explain where you saw this, who the hell this moron is, and why he has this opinion.
So apparently he's pretty reputable in the podcast space.
Really? I've never heard of him.
Neither have I. I was talking to somebody else from RSS.com about it. So apparently he's an entrepreneur of sorts. He's Spotify's former VP.
Oh, okay.
Head of talk creator content and partnerships. He's part of the reason why they have partnerships with like Joe Rogan and a lot of those guys, Dax Shepard, you know, Markiplier. So he also did like Parcast, which is part of, I've never heard of it, but True Crime Platform Podcast Studio. So anyways, he's a self-made entrepreneur. He'd more or less, you know, he's got Pave Studios and, you know, talking about the evolving media landscape. So I saw this article on LinkedIn and it instantly like infuriated me.
Yes.
Cause I'm like, dude, it's because of people like you that are killing podcasting in the first place. Cause you guys are taking corporate media and changing it to not be podcasting.
Yeah.
Like you want podcasting in name alone.
Yeah.
But you want, you don't actually care about podcasting.
No.
And so that's where I get a little perturbed over it. He makes this effort to say that. Now, what's funny is there's a thing called the podcast standards project. Mm-hmm. And it's an advocating for open podcasting, and it's a lot of grassroots industry coalition dedicated to adopting new features and improve the open and podcasting ecosystem for both listeners and creators. Right. Which is totally separate from all of this corporate bullcrap. they're talking about the fact that, you know, In recent years, you know, big tech companies have stepped in to duplicate podcasting success with closed proprietary systems. They call shows, you know, distributed on their closed platforms as podcasts to leverage podcasting's popularity. But the cost was that the word podcasting lost its standards-based guarantee. These closed platforms remove choice. They lock audiences into one player, lock creators into a single vendor service, and take ownership of the relationship between creators and their audiences. And then their whole thing is, you know, the truth is no one can kill open podcasting. Anyone with a microphone and an internet connection will always be able to spin up a feed and broadcast to the world. Much the same way that closed social you know, feeds replaced open blogs, podcasting faces similar assault today. So that's what the grassroots coalition of the podcast standards project is. And I'm intending on digging more into this so that I can try and join. Yeah. But that they're trying to create standards and practices that improve the open ecosystem for, you know, listeners and creators, you know, adding new features where it makes sense. So like some of the providers that are kind of on board with this are Blueberry, Buzzsprout, Captivate, Red Circle, RSS.com, Transistor, Iono.fm, and Podhome, Pod2, and Elite2. And then, you know, there's a bunch of different players, but, you know, the only one I've heard of from these different players is Pocket Casts. And then they're partnered with Pod News. And so I'm very appreciative of these companies. And I know Blueberry, like Tom Cochran over there, is a great dude. Very about the indie, very much about, I mean, yes, their service costs more because it's more of a homegrown business instead of like trying to be this corporate overlord.
Right.
They're very much in tune of trying to do what's best for the podcaster. Even, you know, I get it, like costs are high no matter what field you're in. So, I mean, they got to make money, but they're also like running on a skeleton crew. They've closed their corporate offices to have people just work from home because it saves money. So like they're very conscientious of their impact. And so like in that regard, like I do like them. But I also like RSS.com because it seems like they care too. And I'm in on the RSS space, which is a, you know, exclusive Slack channel for people that are wanting to get in on RSS.com. And, you know, it's kind of like a help group. And so if anybody wants to sign up with RSS.com, I do have an affiliate code, which is GCRN, which will help credit our account if you're going to sign up or move over. And they were awesome in the transfer process, but yeah, so like I, after that, you know, shameless plug there, like I think that having this advocate for open podcasting is going to be essential with the way that things are going, especially with this guy that, you know, oh, we should call everything a show, you know, the global market of money on podcasting, you know, it forever is and forever will be an indie audio format. You know, it's not video, it's not live stream, it's not cross-platform distribution. Yes, you can, you know, you're entering the realm of shows for television, reality content, or branded entertainment. It's video with the other video aspects, but like a podcast is audio.
Yeah.
But it also is quick. It's for, you know, being portable. It's, you know, not a budget thing. It's very quick. And what's funny is the metrics and monetization. He's framing it as a $7.3 billion attention business. Metrics are broken. They've always been broken. They'll never be fixed. No. Because they don't have a clear metric across the board. Yes, we have like the IAB, the internet, you know, it's like the standards board for like internet content.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter of this is that they make the host be IAB certified, which, yes, they should.
Yeah.
Same token. I'm not a fan of it. And yet like the metrics, it's interesting that they're still broken because they really don't have a great way of tracking it. And especially with platforms like Facebook and all these other ones, they've changed their how they count like a view so that it's 1 second. Whereas YouTube, it's 30 seconds that counts as a view. And podcasting under the IAB certification for audio is 60 seconds to count as a listen. However, that number goes out the window if they're porting it to other platforms.
And see,
so therefore you're getting a skewed, broken, fragmented system that doesn't make any sense. And it's more or less just leaving creators to try and figure out what makes sense. And so like this whole thing by, you know, Pave Studios, it sounds oddly self-serving, not unlike when iHeart jumped in and dumped their feet into the podcasting sphere, buying up Spreaker, ruining that, and then being like, oh, we're gonna have the first ever podcast awards. Never mentioned the fact that Todd Cochran had one going for 14 years at the time. But you know, it is what it is.
But like, seriously, okay, like, okay. So I'm not gonna do this. So for me, like, you're talking about how the metrics are counted and how whatever is counted. I, as a podcast listener, I started listening to podcasts late 2007, mid 2000, no, when April, no, it was a, yeah, it was mid 2007, early 2008. As a listener of a podcast, unless my phone was ringing, and even, well, back then I was listening on iTunes. So I'll say now in 2025, as a listener of podcasts, most of the time I'm listening on my phone, unless I'm at my computer and doing stuff on my computer, but most of the time I'm listening on my phone. Unless my phone is ringing, I'm playing a podcast. So when I sit here and click on the pull bag and I hit play on episode 577,
it's your best interest. I'm gonna skip through that. Keyman, superheroes, like TMNT, and Radiant Black.
I'm already a minute 7 seconds in. That
and so much more. It's all.
I'm not gonna pause this. I'm not gonna stop this.
Network. So without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside.
I'm going to listen to that three-hour episode of episode 577 with me and Joe talking about TMNT Reborn Volume 7. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't just sit there and listen to 30 seconds of or 60 seconds of, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know who's listening to a podcast like that. I don't know who only listens to 60 seconds or who only watches. Like, I can understand the watching part. Like, if you're watching it on YouTube and you stop it after a minute or 2 minutes and you pause it and you go to the bathroom or you do this or you do that or whatever. But like, as we've already said, podcasting for us is strictly an audio format. And we're not, you know, get back to where I was on this other show. Anyway, So the metrics, I wish we could fix the metrics. I wish whomever is in charge of the metrics could fix the metrics. I wish we had a metrics standard that we could all...
Which there's supposed to be, but it goes out the window if you're dealing with audio and video. And depending on the platform, because the platforms all have their own... They all have their own metrics. iTunes has their own metrics. Spotify has their own metrics. YouTube has their own metrics. Every site has its own metrics. None of them are clear.
That's what I'm saying. I wish we could have, like, I wish there was some way that everybody could come together. Android, iPhone, everybody, like, come together and have some sort of general standard agreement of what the metrics are, so we can all just get along and we all make whatever we make for the metrics and the monetization and the myth and the efficiency and the whatever. If everybody's being efficient and everybody's getting what they want, then we all get along. Whoops. It's the same thing as I say all the time. I quote Stick from the Daredevil series in the one trailer from whichever series. I think it was from the Defenders series. Get your and I'm sorry to say it, but get your shit together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I think that about rounds this episode up. I just, yeah, I again, like, just remember podcasting still alive, evolving, and, you know, authentic, and especially when it's not backed by some corporate stakeholder attempting to pump up their bottom line by swallowing up what made it great in the first place. So while we won't be calling, yes, we technically call these podcast shows from time to time, it's still not the same thing, and they're still podcasts.
Yeah, they're still podcasts, and we still call them shows, but like I say podcasts first, and I say that we have 20 podcasts. Sometimes I say, oh, this page has 20 shows or this whatever. But I will always use the terminology of podcast, podcaster, podcasting, podcasts, podcast machines. I'm actually stealing something from your article. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'm stealing something from it. Audio authentic independence. I don't know what I'm doing with that, but it's going to become something at some point down the road.
But yeah, so anyways, those that don't know, I'm coming out with a new book on August 8th called Altered Audio, of course. Got to use the altered. Podcasting Demystified, and it is coming out on barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com on print and digital. It will also hopefully be in available for distribution in stores. You may have to go and request it if you want to get it from a store, because they may not carry it right offhand. And you could also probably request it at your local library. It should be able to be picked up at any of those places. I'm sure they would carry it in the stores if I allowed them to have the option to return it should they don't get purchased. The thing that sucks about self-publishing is if you want maximum, you know, you have to also eat some cost. Yep. Right now I have no skin in the game aside from time and maybe like $50 because of ordering my own proofs, which I'll have mine for Barnes and Noble this week. Probably before this episode airs, but yeah, I'm releasing that book. It'll be covering podcasting, and it's kind of a quick read. I mean, it's 140 pages, but it's honestly, like, I don't use a ton of jargon. It's very plain English.
I get to the point.
I lay out all of the options. You don't have to do a Google search. It's all in the book.
Exactly.
Like, I literally list all of the modern hosts, all of the different platforms. I list equipment, you know, small, medium, large. I even give some templates on stuff in the back of the book. So it's definitely going to be something that I hope people resonate with. I'm already working on, like, because I'm in a lot of these podcast help groups, and I'm giving support to people that are asking, and they're like, hey, what do I do about this? I sometimes feel like I give people better advice than what I gave myself, and even currently still give the effort of that advice.
Oh, absolutely. You're awesome.
But I also don't have the time that I used to have to put forth all of the effort that I'm.
Well, true. But I mean, so, that's why you have the book. That's why you're doing that's why the book is here.
So I'm also taking all this information that I get, you know, from people that are asking specific questions, and just like I do with work with an FAQ, I'm saving it all and cataloging it for later so that I can eventually add it to a second edition of the book next year. So
yeah, absolutely.
So it'll probably be bigger next year, but I'm not anticipating it like right away. But if enough things change, then I'll have to go back through and re-edit and then add some of my new content. I've probably got enough to add another like 10 pages now at this point, but I'm more or less holding on to it for now because I already have all of my book content approved everywhere.
Very cool. So, very cool. And coming soon, folks, the audio edition.
I don't know if I'll do that or not. I've looked at it. I don't quite understand how you get it on Amazon ACX, which is their audio platform. Because I tried searching. I don't know if it has to be published first to get it to pop up. Or if I have to put forth my own budget towards it or what. Like, I really don't know what to look for. So I'm waiting until it publishes before I look more into that, because as of right now, I can't see anything. So if nothing else, I'm planning on, even if I don't have an audiobook, I find it, I honestly think it'd be pretty boring as an audiobook, but I'm going to be probably doing a shorter podcast that is tied to the book.
Oh, cool.
So more of a conversational, like I'll focus on a set topic per episode and it'll be short and to the point. And so it would share the name of the book.
Yep.
But yeah, I've already started planning it, have show art and everything else that I've been kind of playing around with. But I've had a few people ask me audio wise. So who knows? But anyways, without further ado, thank you for listening to Altered Geek. And as always, you can comment on this episode post on the website, geekcastradio.com. Buy my book in August. And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Riding the waves of sci-fi and tech, we'll conquer the cosmos, what the heck? From Batman's shadows to Iron Man's flight, our geeky adventures take off like a kite. In a world where pixels paint the skies, gather round friends, let's amplify our cries. Wolverine's claws sharpen, the battles ignite, Steve's got the insights guiding us right. Altered Geeks here, no limits in sight. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up a flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name. From classic icons to new sci-fi dreams, with every episode we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh, keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Alter Geek Podcast, remember the name.